Josh and Richie here with your daily takeaway. Yesterday, on the episode of the podcast, we were talking about my impending trip to the Emirates Stadium to watch Arsenal versus Porto in the Champions League.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up going to a penalty shootout. I can't tell you how tired I am today, but it's a happy tiredness. It's all good.
It's very late, though. The game, when did it kick off? 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock kickoff.
So that plus extra time plus penalties is late.
Yeah, the deciding penalty, I looked at my watch, was 10:47.
That's madness.
It was very, very late. I have to draw your attention, though, to there was a bloke sat two seats down from me who decided at the end of extra time, so that's 120 minutes of football and injury time, he decided then when the ref blew his whistle and all that is left is a penalty shootout, he gets up and goes, "That's it, guys, I'm off. Not sticking around for this. I can't watch this."
What, in a kind of too nervous to watch a penalty shootout, can't bear to watch it type way?
Element of nerves. He said, I can't be watching this. Can't be watching this. We've had 120 minutes of football tonight. We've had the first leg as well. The final score up on the scoreboard says 1-0. Penalties is a lottery. One team's going to win, one team's going to lose. I'm not watching it. And walked out.
I've always said, given that impression, Chris Sutton does like to get ahead of the traffic.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Now, you feel like you know someone, and then there's always revelations to find out. We found out when we were doing this. This show has a podcast every day that you can listen to, Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
All the best bits of the show condensed into about 4 or 5 minutes.
With some bespoke extra content as well. And one of the things we found out on the podcast recently was that you don't own any pairs of jogging bottoms.
Which is weird, because I spend a lot of time talking about tracky bottoms, jogging bottoms, etc. But I don't own any. I've not had any for years.
I just don't understand it. Here I am today, dressed in a pair of chinos and a T-shirt. This is not what I got up in this morning. I will get up every single day and I'll just put on a pair of jogging bottoms, a hoodie. I'll go and do the school run. I will probably change into what I'm going to wear for the day halfway through the morning.
But I mean, I've seen Instagram stories of you at home, and please take this in the right way. You kind of have home cozy stuff. That
I
you
do,
wear.
Yeah.
You look like you might be playing pool in a borstal. Grey jumper, grey tracky bottoms.
Yes,
that,
yeah,
you haven't
yeah.
got a home. You'd never go out in that kind of stuff, I guess, would you?
Petrol station, maybe.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
With your tag on.
Or the supermarket. I'd do that as well.
But when I get up and I put my feet on the floor, having, you know, swung my legs around in bed, I'll get straight into my jeans and stuff for the day.
I can't have that stress.
It's weird. It's weird. I know. I've never really thought about it until it popped up in the podcast.
End of the day, right? End of the day. You get home. After this show, you get home. You want to just relax a little bit. I will then put my jogging bottoms back on again.
Yeah.
What are you putting on to relax? Because surely the jeans have got to come off.
Well, I'm like my dad with this. Just shorts, barefoot.
Shorts?
Shorts in all weathers.
Through the winter, in shorts at home.
Yeah, normal. Whatever the top half was, that stays the same, which is quite weird if you've got like a cable knit jumper.
You've seen the price of energy.
I know, but I even if it's got a cold house, I'll just go for shorts, completely barefoot, and you can hear my little feet like a hobbit padding around the lino floor. Pad, 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 pad.
You feel like you know somebody and you learn stuff every single day. What don't you own? The reason I'm asking is I'm beginning to actually get a little bit paranoid now. Bush doesn't own any jogging bottoms. Our boss has just marched up two floors to tell us proudly that he also does not own any jogging bottoms. Now, I still think that I'm in the majority having leisure wear, but you don't own any.
I was very surprised. I didn't expect... I mean, I couldn't imagine our boss Paul in tracky bottoms, put it that way.
No.
But he kind of was describing how short the shorts are he pads around his house.
Yes.
In. I feel like I imagine him at home a little bit like Jordan Pickford at his house.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. But I mean, there might be people listening to this who won't have a microwave in the house. Don't own a microwave.
Yep.
I can't imagine life without a microwave.
My dad hasn't got a microwave.
I know. Can you imagine how does he defrost stuff? How does he get peas if he needs them in a hurry? Maybe he doesn't have peas.
What don't you... He has peas. I don't know what he's doing.
He just plans ahead. Mrs. Harkett has tweeted us to say, "I don't own one of those home smart speaker thingies."
Oh, I couldn't be without. Couldn't be without. I can't imagine anyone not owning one these days.
Actually, weirdly enough, I don't own one of them either.
Do you really?
I don't own one. I worry that it might be listening to my conversations.
Wow. Wow,
I worry.
Once again, you feel like you know someone.
I know this is it. I'm slightly off-grid in many ways, aren't I?
Yeah, which makes me even more suspicious about you.
Right, we've got Duncan on the line. Duncan, what don't you own, my friend?
A computer game of any description. My two grandsons cannot believe it.
So, Duncan, are we right in saying you've never played a computer game in your entire life?
No, I played Space Invaders a long time ago, but I don't... But that's about it.
Yeah, but I would class that as in an arcade, Duncan. You've never played anything on a home console.
No.
I mean, what do you think of computer games? You must see them and then wonder what must all the fuss be about, right?
And then I look at my motorbike and think, I'll go and ride that.
Fair enough. He's got his own little computer game there on the bike, I guess.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
So, our Talking Bridges competition last night went down an absolute storm.
Wasn't it great hearing from that bridge?
It was lovely to hear from the bridge. Yeah, a lot of rivets. Still blown up, bowled over by how many rivets?
777,000.
That's a lot of rivets.
Tyne Bridge, just in case you had to switch off at one point yesterday.
We had a massive write-up in Media Week about it as well.
Yeah.
So, we're doing Bush and Richie's Talking Birds, obviously because it's Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. The aim of the game's very simple. You're going to hear a very rare bit of footage. We've managed to record an actual bird in the wild describing itself. You've got to guess what the bird is from its description. Have a listen.
Clever bird, me. In fact, most people would say, along with ravens, crows and magpies, I'm one of the most intelligent birds there is. You find a lot of my family as pets for you lot, to be honest. Probably because we're so clever and you like talking to us. Quite why you always make out that we're avian friends of piracy, I don't know. What bird am I?
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. What bird is describing itself there? Lovely West Country accent as well. From Port Zed, I think. Let's speak to tonight's contestant. He's called Kenny. How you doing, Kenny?
Hiya, fellas. All right, mate. Yeah, very good.
We're good, Kenny. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Leeds, boys.
All right, man. Give us one interesting thing that's happened to you today so far, Kenny.
Well, this is the most interesting thing by a mile, mate, to be fair. I'm a project... project manager. I go out in the morning, I listen to them losers on the morning, you know, the ones that are, think they're funnier than you two, but
Barry and that mob.
Yeah, that mob.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you?
I drive home on a night, and in between I make a lot of money for a lot of people except myself.
Kenny, you're quite the character.
He's like a Yorkshire Narcos, this fella, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Kenny, yes, what was the bird?
Well, I think it were a parrot, mate, wasn't it?
Let's find out.
It were a parrot.
It were a parrot indeed.
West Country parrot. Which means, Kenny, you are off to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds at the Royal Albert Hall, all in support of the Teenage Cancer Trust.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
Your day just gets better and better. What are you having for tea this evening then, Kenny?
Well, we're on a little bit of a health kick, so it's quiche tonight.
Mate, I'm so sorry to pass on our condolences.
I love quiche.
No.
How do you feel about quiche, Kenny? Before
I've got to say that I enjoy it, just in case the wife's listening. But really looking forward to it, my love.
Hey, if it's heated up, a quiche is good. I love a Lorraine.
Yeah, it is. It is. It will be warm, so that's a bonus.
Inside, he's crying, but at least he's won the tickets. Good on you, mate. Hang in there.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
That's what we learnt earlier on, that Bush doesn't have a pair of jogging bottoms. What does the man go home and relax in? Well, we learnt it's shorts. Just don't understand it. But variety is the spice of life. We don't all have to have the same things.
I'm getting some backup there here on text. Hi, guys. He says, very funny topic. I don't have jogging bottoms, a microwave or a dishwasher. I'm with Bush. At home, it's shorts and bare feet all year round. Nothing wrong with that.
So we all walk around thinking we're all the same, but we're not. So the question is, what don't you own? Heather says, I don't have a credit card. I never have, and I'm the wrong side of 50.
Well, that's good, fairly liberating.
Heather, well done you.
Yeah, I wish I never had one of them as well. We've got Miranda on the line. Miranda, what don't you own?
I don't own a stove or an oven.
You don't own a what, an oven?
A stove or an oven.
Obviously, it's a sofa or an oven. So you don't own a stove or an oven. How on earth do you cook, Miranda?
I cook in my air fryer, a lovely, lovely double air fryer. I've got a ceramic hot plate, a double hot plate, and a lovely microwave oven.
Oh.
How are you doing Christmas dinner?
Air fryer.
Air fryer. You can air fry anything these days, it seems. Well,
exactly.
As an example then, because this might blow some people's minds, the fact that you don't have a stove or an oven. Well, what did you have for dinner last night then, Miranda?
Well, dinner last night was actually a bit of a tricky one because I did chicken. So, it had to go in stages. So it was chicken in the air fryer and chips in the other side of the air fryer, and that was lovely.
So Miranda, just we'll go from the chicken back to Christmas Day to the turkey. How was the turkey in the air fryer?
I don't do turkey, but I can fit a whole medium to small chicken in the air fryer.
Wow!
Wow! That's an air fryer you got there, isn't it? Eh?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So is it something you're very proud of? Like my mum and dad have just got an air fryer and they're very, very proud. They always tell me what they've just air fried recently.
My son is 12 years old now, and he's cooking in the air fryer.
10-year-olds cooking in the air fryer. This is amazing.
This is what will be home economics is like in the future. Air fryer.
Of course, you can bake cake in the air fryer. You can do anything in the air fryer.
I will look forward to next year's Bake Off being the air fryer week.
Carrie and Hull's just texted to say, my 8-year-old cooks using our air fryer. Easy. That beats 10. If you go younger than that, tell us.
Brian says, I don't own and never will own a pair of sliders, flip-flops or sandals. Even on holiday when it's red hot, sorry, I won't wear them.
That's madness. So if we can just pause the show for a second and let you guys into a bit of like what we'd describe as show admin or you know, a bit of a show situation we've got. Let me explain. Tomorrow on Thursdays, obviously, we always do Find a Word For on Home Time, where we come up with a word for a thing or a situation that currently doesn't have a word at the moment. And in the week, even though you might listen to this show and think, well, they don't plan that, we do have quite a few meetings about how it's going to pan out and
every now and then we plan.
We have a plan, but we have a meeting about what we're going to do potentially for Find a Word For on Thursday. And there's another way to say this, but I had an idea quite firmly knocked back for Find a Word For.
Yeah.
And I'm still quite hurt about it. Because and I'll quote you, this is the reason that came back from the team and why it's not going to happen for tomorrow's Find a Word For, because apparently I'm the only person this thing happens to.
Yes, well, it's a critical part of Find a Word For, because we find a word for situations that don't have a word, but when you're putting forward a situation that isn't really a thing apart from for you, you can't find a word for it because it's too niche.
So, I mean, normally I'd be like, okay, fair enough, I won't bring it up again, but I do feel like I want to like almost write to my local MP because I feel quite hard done by. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to put it out there to the general public. I know now it's not got through to the next round for Find a Word For tomorrow, so that's not going to happen. But the thing I put forward is this. You know, sometimes when you're having a wee, you get a bit of like a shudder, like someone's walked over your grave, like a ugh.
No.
Producer Nick over there?
No,
he's shaking. No. Is it just me then?
It's just you.
Like, it's almost a supernatural experience. Have I in some way like communicated with the other side?
I'd love to help you here. I'd love to agree, but I can't because it doesn't happen.
Okay, so, well, it's never going to see the light of day for Find a Word For, and I feel in many ways this brought this to a conclusion.
If you'd like to come up for a word for your solution, though, for what happens to you, then by all means do.
Maybe I'll just do it offline. Simon's texting now saying, surely it's called a golden shiver. I'm with you on the wee shudder. You are not alone.
Jim says the weebie jeebies.
I feel vindicated, but it's still not going to see the light of day.
The noise of the past. It's Bush and Ritchie's Sound of the Decades.
Absolute 80s.
Okay, keep your support, your moral support on that. Maybe we need to form some kind of like support group rather than just put it out in a competition.
But some of the words that are coming in, you couldn't read out.
Yeah, there's a lot
there's
of X-rated
stuff. There's only so many that you could work with.
So, in many ways, it's probably a good thing we're not doing it tomorrow.
Yes.
Let's turn our attention to the matter at hand, and that is a sound effect from the 1980s. A sound from that era that no one has guessed so far, and it's this. What's that sound?
Not a paper guillotine and not a Dymo label maker that we had guessed yesterday.
Put your ear closer to the radio, unless you're driving, and have a listen to this again.
If you're driving, just turn the radio up.
What is that?
It's officially Leeds night on the show tonight because another contender for one of our features on air from Leeds. It's Steve. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine, thanks.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, sir. Yeah, all good.
I spent a five-a-side team with a fella from Leeds when I was at university, and he used to call me Duck all the time. Do you use that word with people?
Duck. Love. We use love a lot.
He used to call me Love as well, actually, yeah.
I mean, the Duck thing might have been something to do with how you play football.
Well, I remember once, lovely Sarah Champion, who we work with, she has told me regularly that she knows it's me at a distance if she passes me in the street because of the way I walk.
There you go.
But it's never gone into detail about why that is. I've got a lot to resolve there, Steve.
You have, yeah. Steve, yeah, you have. When you listen to this Home Time show, what of all the Absolute Radio stations do you choose to listen with?
Me, I'm a 90s boy.
All right, favourite band or actor of the 90s, Steve?
Super Furry Animals.
Oh, good choice. Like that.
Well, look, Steve, it's a sound from the 80s, as you well know, for Sound of the Decades. Let's remind us all of that sound. Question is, what is the sound of the decade?
Well, I think it's the end of Screwball Scramble when you push the ball over and it hits the bell.
What a game.
I can't remember that game. Tell me what that game is.
Steve, describe it. Go for it.
Well, you've got a ball bearing marble, and you have to press the buttons and get it around the obstacle course. And at the end, you have to flip it over and it hits the bell and the finish point.
I used to play that so often. I promise you I could do it with my eyes closed because there was sort of like a rhythm and a speed to it. I could do it in about 8 seconds.
It looks like an assault course for a little metal ball.
For a ball bearing.
Let's have a listen one more time. How sure are you, Steve?
90% sure.
Oh, that's pretty sure.
Confident, so let's find out.
You're a loser, and you have lost.
Sorry about that, love.
Never mind.
Don't worry, Duck.
Thanks, Duck.
Cheers, buddy. Sound of the Decades returns tomorrow.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
We're one big family on the show. If you ever need to speak to us or ask us anything, you know how to get in touch.
Yeah, you can email us, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk. We're at the socials at Absolute Radio. Whatever you want to do, just get in touch with us. Listener Chris has done that from his journey home tonight. Listen to this.
Hey, Bush. Hey, Richie. Just on my way home from work, I'd stopped in at a little supermarket to pick myself up a sandwich. I've gone for a classic selection, but I need your help. What order should I consume these sandwiches? I've got a BLT, a prawn mayo, and a smoked ham and mustard mayo. Which order do I need to eat those in? It's vitally important.
Well, and he's got what is essentially a triple-pack sandwich dilemma.
Yeah.
And you get three sandwiches in a pack. What is the right way to eat them in order? So it's prawn mayo, BLT, ham and mustard. He's on the train right now.
I would go with the prawn mayo first, I think.
Okay, like some kind of a starter.
Well, yeah, because it's also the one that is least flavour. I would go with the smoked ham and the mustard mayo last, because that, I think, is the strongest flavour of all of them. You don't want to put that first, because then your tongue's going to be ruined in time for the prawn mayo and the BLT.
But there's three courses here. You're not thinking starter, main and kind of a funky dessert.
No, because none of those, to me, are particularly sweet.
But, I mean, the BLT is surely the star of the show. I agree with you, prawn mayo would be a little bit like, I remember did, like, you know, prawn cocktail.
Yeah.
It's got a startery vibe. Have it in a little glass or something like that. And then ham and mustard can be your cheese and biscuits. Either way, Chris is waiting for us to come up with a decision.
Luke's in Northumberland says BLT first because it's breakfast, prawn second because it's kind of lunch, and then ham and mustard as your dinner or tea, depending on your culinary tastes.
It's unconventional, but we'll pass that on to Chris. Thank you.
Wes, what do you reckon?
Yeah, stack the disgusting prawn one off and then just stack the other two together like a classic club.
So get rid of the prawn one and then stick the ham one and the BLT into one massive sandwich.
Yeah, if you've got a cocktail stick handy, just in case you're the type who carries them on you, then even better.
So, OK, carry around a cocktail stick and create a bacon, lettuce, tomato, ham and mustard and mayo, a mighty sandwich.
It sounds good.
Yeah. Combo.
And where's that going on the train, right? Obviously, listener Chris is on the train whilst he's got in touch with us. Where's the prawn mayo thing going?
Give it to someone else.
Pass it around.
That's a nice idea.
Someone living in third class.
Because commuters love that, passing around some of their food.
Prawn mayo, anyone? Anyone?
He's on the train home. I would imagine we've been talking about this for so long now. He might nearly be home.
He must be starving.
Yeah, he's got to tuck in to this variety pack of sandwiches. Prawn mayo, BLT, smoked ham mustard mayo. But in what order should he eat them?
What order should he eat them? And show your workings, please. We've got Andy on the line. Andy, what are you thinking?
Exactly as you said, it's got to be mild. It's got to be the one that has the flavour in its own right, prawn. Then, what's your next one?
I'm thinking BLT second.
BLT, because the bacon, that's salty and strong, but then the salad brings it down a bit. And then the last one, ham, smoked ham and mustard.
Yeah.
Well, smoked ham's like, wow, and mustard is boom. So you've got to finish on the ham and mustard.
Love that. Do you know that you get a sommelier who will recommend wine?
Yes.
Or wine to go with something? You could do that for sandwiches. That'd be so good.
I was thinking of wine at the time because I thought, well, to enjoy a wine, you ought to have something savoury first.
I don't think at any point in his message Chris said that he was on the train with a wine as well.
But having listened to some of these suggestions, yes, he probably is on the wine by now, I imagine.
He can go back to it, though, can't he?
Of course he can. We'll pass that on to him. Lovely to speak to you.
Great.
And we have some serious business to attend to before we leave you, and that is, of course, what is our advice to listener Chris, who's been sat there with a triple variety pack of sandwiches on his lap waiting for our response?
He's actually missed his stop.
Yeah, he's literally he's at the train depot now. Prawn mayonnaise, BLT, ham and mustard. What way are we going to suggest he eats them?
Wes nailed it earlier. Bin off the prawn mayo and have the BLT and smoked ham and mustard mayo as a big club sandwich.
It's unconventional, looks like something from Scooby-Doo, but Chris, let us know how you get on.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
So there's the show. Just to return to Richie's story about going to the Arsenal game and that fella walking out before the penalties. That's a weird thing.
It's really weird. I mean, it's he might walk out and not see the drama of it, but wake up in the morning, the result is still the same. Now, as it turned out, we won on the penalty shootout. He should have stayed. He's missed a wonderful life experience.
I saw your video of the moment that Reyes saved that final penalty.
Yeah.
It went crazy and he missed out on all that.
He missed out on all that. Now, if they'd lost on penalties, He would have got a march on the 60,000 fans and not seen the miserable experience.
Maybe we should respect this guy. He's the ultimate gambler. That is high stakes, isn't it?